You're watching Bedtime Stevie Book Post.
Right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Henrik. This is Red Ice TV. Hope you're all doing well. Always start touching my ear. Gotta get that, you know, in-ear monitor just right. Otherwise, it's kind of uncomfortable. I know it looks weird. I do that every time I noticed. Stop doing that, okay? It's fine. Don't touch it. All right. We'll be joined by Ryan Dawson here, obviously, in just a little bit. Whoops. We're going to talk about the Iran situation, obviously. But he's not in the call yet. Actually, he is in the call. But let me take care of this housekeeping thing real quick here. So just a quick update, and I hate to do about this, but I'll be real quick. Anyone, we appreciate everyone who supports the show. Maybe you have some comments or questions today, either for Ryan or comments about, you know, the topic or whatever it might be. Maybe you just want to support the show. Please do not use Entropy. There's still a warning here. No payouts since January. We just heard back from them after being kind of missing in action for, I think we wrote them for about a week and a half. And we finally learned that they had lost their... I think they've just lost their payment processor. Maybe it's the clearinghouse. There's something on the back end or whatever. But of course, they made a big mistake by not just letting people know, right? Because of course, we get some amazing donors from you guys out there. King Albert, obviously, right? And so they're sitting on like several thousands of dollars. And they didn't get back to us, didn't say anything. So anyway, that's on the side burner for now. But so please do not use Entropy because we're not getting any payouts. So we don't know what the status of that is. And they didn't even get back to us. And so it's kind of increasingly difficult to work like that. So we got a couple of other options and we appreciate your support. And I hate to send people to a new place. It's always something. Obviously, you can still use, you know, Rumble if you want to do that. You can use powerchat.live/redicetv, obviously. I'm sorry, redice/redice. It's powerchat.live/redice. But the new one we set up is donorbox.org/redicetips. And I'll keep an eye on that here. And do keep in mind, just check the little box that says write a comment if you send a donor and if you want to leave a question, either for the guest or just a comment about the show in general or words of support, whatever you might want to leave. Check that little box that says write a comment and then you can, you know, write your message and I'll read that out there. So we're trying that out and we'll see how that works and see if that helps. Hopefully it still does. Now, PowerChat and Rumble, of course, they have the TTS stuff, you know, they read it out and whatever. Actually, above five, I think it is. The limit is five. Then it reads it out. Otherwise, we'll try DonorBox. All right. So anyway, with that out of the way, sorry making about that, but it was kind of, I got kind of pissed. You know, it's just what it is, right? It's just like, we're hearing nothing. It's just like, what's going on? Like a month and a half later, it's like, oh, you're not, okay. Couldn't you have said that like right away so we can find some other options? We have, you know, it's only so long you can float along without getting paid, right? Getting your payouts. And we have bills as everyone else does. So that's how it goes. Anyway, goddammit, it's been a jumping, a whack-a-mole type of thing since 2018-19, something like that. Anyway, let's not talk about debanking and deplatforming right now, although our guest certainly knows about it. Ryan, good to see you. How are you? Oh, maybe you're... I think you're muted still. Try to unmute that on the screen so we can bring you in. Huh? Is that you? Yeah, hover over the bar in the lower, and it's like by default muted. Just check that.
Not working.
There we go. Gotcha.
Yeah, I fully understand the censorship whack-a-mole game.
Oh, yeah.
Banned since 2005.
Congrats, man.
From MySpace and AOL. And then
I was not banned from MySpace. You got us covered there on that one, but anyway. Yeah,
you guys, I know you've lost a few clothing stores, so have I, PayPal, Patreon, Stream Element, all that stuff.
Crypto platforms, all kinds of crazy stuff. But yeah, it is. It's kind of the day. It's
Twitter, for me until 2023.
Right, exactly. No, Twitter was actually the only one we didn't lose, and I didn't lose MySpace. You know, wish MySpace was.
Most people didn't.
No, exactly. I don't think so. All right, anyway, down to
actual I got kicked business. Off Nintendo even. For making a 9/11 stage on 9/11 with the five dancing Goombas.
Really? You could do that. That's got a
Mario Maker. Stages.
Is that like early Minecraft type of stuff or what?
They had this thing. It was called Mario Maker, Mario Maker 2, and you could design stages. Really fun. My son and I would make cool stages. And I just decided to make two giant towers with five dancing Goomba. And I had like a little plane in there and smoke coming out with the little bomb characters, you know? And yeah.
Creative. Band. Man, even back
also
then.
Also have bands from Pornhub. I uploaded one of my Holocaust films there. I called it Vintage and Skinny. And they didn't like that one.
Well, you know who else was banned from life recently? The OnlyFans pornographer, Leonid Radvinsky, right? I'm sure you saw the news.
Did he die of a drug overdose or something?
Yeah, I think it was butt cancer. I don't know. It was some kind of cancer, I think. But
he was only 43.
Yes, it was some kind of...
Some other degenerate will replace him, but yeah.
Oh, exactly. Whatever. That's just it. I wish he was actually held accountable, like his funds confiscated and put to efforts of like actually deplatforming like pornographers. How about that and degenerates?
He's banned here. Well, all porn is banned in South Korea, not just Pornhub, like all porn. You can't have it.
There you go. Good. Is that like an ISP level or how do they do it? Do you know how they...
So no magazines or any of that. That's easy. The digital stuff is much harder but any major thing or search term. So if you write nude or anything like that, it won't come up. No Pornhub, no OnlyFans. I don't even know what the big things are, but they don't exist here anyway.
Good.
And I did run into it when I was trying to do legitimate Epstein research and Hunter Biden research where I'm like, it's a little too much
terms.
But yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, what was I going to say on that? It's not too late here. It's 8 p.m., but, you know, I've got horrible sleep, so my brain is like scrambled eggs. We'll try to get to it. But anyway, we're going to get into, obviously, the Iran stuff.
You're functioning better than Hegg, Seth, and Trump.
Well, yeah. It's kind of a low bar, though, to be honest.
True.
But anyway, we'll get into it. But something that's going to bring
up. I was a little confused when the Gerald Ford caught on fire. I thought John McCain was dead.
Ah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, that's what I was going to say. Hey,
they're like, oh, Iran hit it. I'm like, that would be satisfying, but that's fake news. They had toilet problems before the war started.
I know.
Those sailors have been on that boat for a year. They were done. They're like, we're not going another whatever many months in Iran. Sabotage the laundry rooms. You got to understand that this is hundreds of machines. It's a big fire. And so, yeah, they're at port now. That's one carrier out, taken out by Americans.
Was it the Ford that was docking at Crete to try to resolve the issue? They do these, like, $500,000 acid flushes to, like, try to, you know, cleanse the whole, you know, toilet, you know, plumbing system, essentially. I mean, I get that it's really advanced, but apparently, right, some of the rumors, as you said, was they were shoving, like, T-shirts and stuff down in there. They were doing all kinds of things that they were not supposed to do. It is quite common, but this was, like, kind of over the top after a while, it feels like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't let them have leave, and they were like, uh-uh. And who knows how long the war in Iran could go. They don't want to die for Israel, so they sabotaged their own ship. And America is very embarrassed by it. They don't want to be, like, admitting a mutiny, right? So, like, accidental fire, accidental toilet problems, sure, whatever. It's like an F-18 just fell off the edge and landed into water that time they were fighting the Houthis. That happened twice.
You see some of these things, this hit, that hit. There's even, like, what was it, Diego Garcia hit, and he's like, was that a really Iran? Was that Israel trying to, scare everyone?
Yeah, because they're like, what part of Iran? Where did this missile come from? Because there's a big difference between like Chanabara and, say, Tehran. There's a 900-mile different range. That's something you need to know. That's the difference between hitting this European capital or not, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think they did fire. I think that was fired from the sea, and it might have been a false flag, or maybe there was no firing at all. They just made up a story.
That is
true. That's not beyond them.
That is true.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, we got these.
I mean,
because right afterward, they had all this propaganda, like Iran could hit Paris, blah, blah, blah.
Yep, exactly.
Daily Mail had attacked anybody who didn't attack them.
And this was like, you know, right in the, I forget if the stories were out before Netanyahu, but he was speaking in, I think, Arad, one of the places hit there in Israel, and he was like, they will hit, he was like scaremongering Europe into basically, try to pull them into the war, essentially. It was the same thing with Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister, right? Just like, it's calling Europeans coward for not joining and fighting Israel's war. Like, fuck, nice try. Nice try, Jew. It's not going to work. All right. Anyway,
you can't believe anything they say. It's
just been
one lie after another. It's like when the refuelers got hit. Five of them were hit on the Prince Sultan Air Base, completely destroyed. And they're like, oh, they're damaged. I'm like, okay, it's a plane and a missile. You either miss or hit. There's no damage. You know, it's either gone or it didn't get hit at all. They got all five of them. They also shot one down in the air. And the original story was, oh, that plane ran into another plane. No, it was shot down.
Hmm.
And then they had this story of three F-15s being shot by Kuwaiti air defense. If they had not lied so much about everything else, I thought, okay, maybe that's a screw up. And now you got to really relook at that and wonder if those weren't also shot down.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I understand we'll never get a straight answer, but especially when you're dealing with Israel and these Jewish Zionists, like it took a while for me. I mean, even with like analyzing, you know, Holocaust and Second World War and all these, you know, controversial historical things, but it took me quite a while to kind of understand, like, they just lie, you know, they just lie. And it seems to be, if literally not about everything, it's just that the default position I think we have to have is like, assume it is a lie until it can be proven. They're like, oh, that actually told the truth. I think we'll be much better off. There will be much more chance that we actually will get to, maybe
they
not the
lie
truth
like
then,
fish swim. They lie about stuff that doesn't even matter. And they lie about stuff that is just verifiably false. Like when they bombed that girl's school,
mm-hmm.
which you could say it was an accident. You could say that. But they're like, no, we didn't do that. Iran did that. You know, they're very inaccurate with their own missiles and that they hit their own school. But
that's Iran's tomahawk right there. Right?
It's the Tomahawk Block 4, and they did a double tap. There is no way you could act like that was Iran or that you believe it was Iran. It was you. Now, either you did it on purpose or an accident.
Yeah.
They did have some outdated maps, but, man, the fact that you hit it a second time pretty much concludes you did it on purpose. You killed a bunch of little kids.
That's what they do.
Which puts you on the same page of Israel just attacking schools and hospitals. They had a hospital that day, too.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, because the school was so horrific, it overshadowed the news about a hospital, but bombing a hospital is bad enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was the same with it didn't strike the school like the Tomahawk did, but it was like a boys' school. I think it was a week or so before. I'm not sure if you remember that footage, too. It was one kid was killed, I think, but yeah.
They started saying, well, you know, this is so Israeli of them. Iran is firing missiles from schools.
Yeah, it was a base there. Why did they put a school right where the military base is? You know, that was the excuse, right? Now, they do have – okay, so there's a lot to talk about here, but I do want to kind of give a little bit of a – not a summary, but like a rundown here, right? We got the New York Times articles about this. We're learning more and more about, like, actually how extensive, also, obviously, Iran's underground missile – they call them cities, but it's like, you know, bunkers, essentially, how advanced they are and just how much they have and how long probably – they have prepared for this. This is not some – Iran doesn't have this – or Iran, I should say. It doesn't have this, like, let's shoot off everything we got and scorched it. Like, this is a war of attrition for them. They're in this for the long haul. I think that they want to drag this out as long as possible, and also partially because they've already noticed how humiliating this has been, not only for Trump and Netanyahu, but the entire, you know – establishment. They're back in this. There's no straight answers. They're blaming each other. It's flip-flopping. It's the intelligence community, even with Tulsi Gabbard, is sitting up there in front of these hearings, blatantly just like, you can see that she's like troubled by like that she has to lie about this stuff, right? It's amazing. And
she knows better.
She knows better.
She's not that dumb. She knows better. Joe Kent resigned over it.
At least that. I mean, my argument was he should have stayed in there and caused more of a ruckus, but just on a personal level, like from a moral standpoint, I get why he did what he did, but I think he could have done even more damage if he stayed on for a while and kind of drive that line a little bit internally.
Maybe, but I think he was like, no one's listening to me. It's kind of like what Marjorie Taylor Greene said. She'd put in bills, they would get stuck in committee. It was just hopeless.
Yeah.
Resigning did get him... Last I checked, it was like 73 million people saw his tweets, which is one of the most successful tweets ever. And then he went and did the circuit and talked to media and Tucker and so on and so on. So he might have been able to do more damage to the system by resigning. But I understand your point. Like if he'd stayed, he'd at least be a voice of reason. But they're just not listening to them.
No.
Trump has isolated himself with the Witkoff and Kushner and Lutnick and, you know, these Mark Levine. Who's not like they don't know anything about war.
No, one guy, third Temple Pete. Don't forget Third Temple Pete. He's
Yeah, with his Jesus tattoos.
And yeah, Yeshua.
Some of them are incorrect, by the way, but he has them as tattoos anyway, and he wants to bring back Jesus. I don't think you want to bring back
not
Jesus.
Even I think he's just straight up demoniac.
Yeah, not go the way you think it goes.
I think he's just straight up demoniac. That's what it seems like. He's on that. He's on that. I mean, look.
He's on that old that whole Zionist Christian Moshiach wave.
I mean, from my point of view, I don't draw too many distinctions, you know, granted, but still, you know, the Jewish Messiah, right? That's what they want to return. Exactly. Do you know what you're doing? That's been some of the things here, too, coming out, right? This, I guess, is kind of a wider discussion. And again, we'll get into some of the details here. I want to outline some stuff, but like, do they even know what they're doing? And again, I go back and forth all the time. I'm like, they are totally moronic. Like, they're just no one is in charge, essentially. They're totally moronic. But then part of me is like, maybe the chaos is kind of by design. Maybe just in the turmoil of all of this and the confusion, they can get more accomplished and more achieved, perhaps. Because look at what they're doing in Lebanon now. Look at what they're doing in the West Bank. Like, they're using this chaos kind of as a cover of like achieving multiple different greater Israel objectives, essentially.
Nah, they could have attacked the West Bank anyway and the world wouldn't have done anything, just like Gaza. They're losing in Lebanon. They could make it look like they're winning. They're not. They're destroying a lot of stuff in Beirut, but Israelis have been losing soldiers, losing tanks. They're getting embarrassed. Their radar all along the blue line has been destroyed. I can say that with confidence because either they're completely out of interceptors, which is unlikely that they're out completely, or the radar is gone, because they're not even doing the early warning system that tell God's chosen lunatics to go run down to the shelters. Hezbollah's hitting them with rockets, not missiles, sometimes drones. But when you're getting hit with rockets, then you don't have radar because those are easy to intercept and they're getting spiked. But every time they do a staging area, it gets hit and they're getting their Merkava tanks are getting direct hits. And what's lovely about this is Hezbollah has Cornet anti-personnel, anti-tank missiles that they're using that they got from Syria. So a lot of that SAA gear just went over to Lebanon as Jolani took over Syria. They never really took Latakia. He took everything else. It's kind of reversed. Before, only Idlib was al-Qaeda. Now only Latakia is like legit. Which is, you know, adjacent to Lebanon. And so they drifted those weapons in there. And I was hearing from those boys, because I covered the Syrian war 11 years, you know, they're in Iraq and in Lebanon with like high level expertise. You know, they've been fighting. These are hardcore veterans. And you can notice it in Iraq. They took over Victoria Base. They took a drone and drove around, took out whatever helicopters were left, which I thought was weird. Why don't you steal them? But they were just blowing them up. The Americans are being forced to retreat to Jordan. They've lost Erbil. They lost the U.S. embassy, which,
in
let's
Iraq,
face it,
right?
It's a base. They call it an embassy, but
it's
bigger
than
Vatican City, you know?
Yep.
That's been overrun, destroyed, blown up. They lost their billion-dollar radar in Qatar at the onset of the war. They lost a $300 million mega radar in Jordan at the onset of the war. So they've been fighting blind the whole time. And that seems to be the Hezbollah-Iran plan, is take out the radar. Everyone else is like, oh, they're going to run out of interceptors because drones and missiles are cheap and interceptors are expensive. And I'm like, yeah, the money doesn't matter. They've got trillions. They'll just print money. Physically, they can't make enough interceptors. That is true. But if you take out the radar, even if they did have interceptors, they're useless. And both have happened. The radar was taken out and they're extremely low on PAC-3s, which are the only, like, the Patriot 3 is the only one that really worked. The PAC-2s don't really work. They had like a 19% success rate, and that's with fudge numbers. They don't hit nose to nose. What they do is they go and blow up beside it and hope the shrapnel hits it. It's really bad. THAAD can't work without the radar. There's a limited number of those. They're only for high altitude, so those don't matter. And then Iron Dome, David Sling, Arrow 3 ran out in June, so that one never mattered. Iron Dome is effective at taking out rockets and Katyushas and things like that with no propulsion systems. It can't deal with MIRVs. It can't deal with cluster bombs. It can't deal with supersonic or hypersonic, and it doesn't really do that well with subsonic, so whatever. But losing radar is huge, and that hurts them offensively too. So I'll slow down if I'm nerding out too much.
No, it's totally fine. Yeah. And now you're talking
about...
They don't
have that. They don't get early warning because they have to fire... hitting the Gulf states is easy. When you have to fire over Iraq and Jordan and then land on Israel, they got time. You know, they got minutes to respond.
Yeah.
And they're just not able to stop these. And they really can't stop the attacks from Lebanon because that's right there. They can hit them with low altitude shots, drones, and they don't even need the very expensive drones. Anything works. And Ukraine proved how this, they did very well with their drones. And Hezbollah's copied this tactics. And I don't know why Israel didn't invest in drones and do it back, but they didn't. They're still going in with tanks. Tanks are obsolete in modern war. I mean,
yeah,
it's tree line and drones. You've seen that with Russia and Ukraine. It just doesn't, they're not, there's very limited use you can do for armor. The U.S. even got rid of it. Its Marines aren't using tanks anymore. They're not, they're very, very lightly armored. And so, yeah, the Merkavas are getting blown up. They go to tow them out. Then they blow up the tanks that went in and rescued the first tanks. They're hitting their helicopters. It's like they didn't learn. It's like they didn't watch the war in the north at all. But Hezbollah did. And Israel without – and the other big change that Hezbollah did that they learned in the 12-day war, number one was up the drones. Number two, get rid of your cell phones and all your telecommunication because Israel spies on all that. They know where you are. They listen to you. They find you. So when they're just like no phones and they disappear in the hills and the Israelis have no idea where they are, how many they are, anything. They're completely reliant on this high-tech surveillance state. And so there's, you know, Hezbollah just got rid of it. And they went old school. Yep. And they don't know how to deal with old school. Never did.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, so the U.S. is running short as well on ammo, according to the Wall Street Journal. And again, it was like this piece was talking about how, like, you basically need 500 more billion in addition to the already, you know, $1 trillion defense budget for 2026. That's a 50% increase. $1.5 trillion.
It's much worse than this, actually, because it's not just the defensive ammo they've run out of. It's the standoff munitions. So your Tomahawks and glide bombs and the stuff that where you can shoot further than they can. So that's why, like, we got air supremacy. We can hit whatever they want. That's not true. You can burn through that very expensive long-range missiles, and, yeah, you're pretty safe doing that because they can't hit you back. But you've now what? If you're going to use JASMs and JDAMs, you got to get within 40 miles. Well, their Q9s can hit you within 40 miles, and that's why you saw an F-35 got hit. Several F-15s, an Israeli F-16 have all been shot out of the air. Refuelers have been shot out of the air because the U.S. and Israel have run out of standoff munitions. Their target packages also seem to be empty. That's why they're just hitting warehouses and hospitals and things. They don't know where these ballistic missiles are. Well, some of them are mobile.
Have you seen the footage? Yeah, where
there you go.
Have you seen like
that's where they are.
Have you seen the footage when they just come straight out of like the sand, the desert? I'm trying to find it here. I played it in Western Warrior, but I'll try to find it again. It's just incredible.
So footage. I saw those videos 10 years ago. People were acting like, oh, look at the new stuff they can do. Oh, no, they've been able to do that.
Well, that's what I said. They've been building this for a couple of decades, probably, at least, this whole
since 2005.
Thing. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah, there's another image
I'll
here,
give
too.
You the story there. His name is General Jafar, like the bad guy in Aladdin, except he's the good guy here. They realize.
You're saying the bad guy's the good guy? Huh, interesting. Anyway, go on.
Jafar's the good guy, yeah, in this one, and in real life.
Well, that's usually how it is, actually, no matter what.
Named after their
story.
They do in their history, there was a Benedict Arnold named Jafar, and that's why he's probably the bad guy in Aladdin, whatever. But this is a different Jafar. But anyway, this one, the good Jafar, whatever. They watched what happened to Iraq and the collapse of its central command. And Iraq has been worn out because it had a war with Iran and then the sanctions and everything else. In Gulf War I, Saddam had to pour oil into the Gulf and set it on fire, you know, for them to leave alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we also saw what happened. But in 2005, after the second war in 2003, they watched this pretty legitimate army get decimated by the United States and all their allies. And they realized, okay, you can't have anything on the surface because the American Air Force will come and destroy it. So they started digging. And what Iran has is mountains. They got the Zagros Mountains in the west especially. And they can
– basically all mountains around. It's like a fortress.
Pretty much. Yeah, they got a nice donut of mountains.
Yep.
It's a real fortress. Good luck getting in there or getting under there anyway with conventional bombs. You can't, don't have that many bunker busters. And – They just don't. You can blow even up the if you entrances, do. There was just a dig out another one, whatever.
Yeah, know? I mean, there was a question. Even if they're able to penetrate as deep down as it was, I don't think it was 500 meters down, as some said. That would be crazy. But like, what's the bunker buster limit? 100, maybe 150 or something. It might be
and
in
also
that range.
What the payload is, what diameter? You know, this is the stupidity of. They started bombing the shoreline of the Strait of Hormuz, saying we'll take out those land batteries and then we're going to go and escort ships. This is like somebody who plays video games making a plan. The Strait of Hormuz shoreline is 1,000 miles long.
Yeah, I know.
It's about as long as South Vietnam was. Your bombs take out things within meters, 10, 20 meter explosion, you know, if you get a big one. Okay. So you want to take out something that's 1,000 miles and about 5 or 6 miles deep, and you want to hit something the size of a gun, and you can only spread it out within meters. Nice plan.
What is that?
If you don't know where they are, you cannot just bomb them by randomly straight in an area. It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Plus, they can move. They can see you coming.
That's the thing, yeah.
Further down the tunnel, whatever.
Apparently, basically, the missile launcher infrastructure, if you will, live in the, if it's a rail system, sometimes they do have it on just the big trucks, basically. But they fire one of these, and then they just move it. And so even if, you know, the U.S. or Israel strikes that location, they can, I read some reports said that within a couple of hours again, they can have that, like, restored or, like, opened up again, essentially, for usage for later.
Even more fun, you could have drones and a dirt bike. That's all you'd need. So you could go to location. You could use optics, though. None of the infrared, none of the jammers, nothing electronic. All you need is like a high-powered binocular. You've seen them. They're on this like stick with a swivel. There's no way you're going to find that, right?
Right.
They can spot that because an oil tanker on flat water is very easy to find. You know, it's moving slow. It's huge. There's no trees or anything in the way. It's on the water. The target is there. A little bit of trigonometry in a drone, boom, you can hit it. And you don't need a missile to take out a tanker. The tanker's full of oil, so the bomb's already on the boat. All you need is either one of those suicide, or they call them the kamikaze drone ships, or a flying drone. They seem to be using the aerial ones so far. And that thing's toast, literally. And they can't go and find those. Now, if you were going to use a ballistic missile or whatever, it has a signature. Anything that they can jam, they would fly over jammers and do it. But if they are spotting you using just optics, just using glass, that's untraceable. And they can hit you all day. Very low tech to take out something, you know, worth billions of dollars, and it could be done in one shot. So forget about it. You're not going to fire. They're all up in the mountains, and they can fire from 5 or 6 miles away. You're not going to open the Strait of Hormuz unless you send in 300,000 ground forces and physically take over the
area.
Can
you imagine the slaughter of that, though? The mess of that? The holy shit.
They can't even reach it. It'd be a logistical nightmare, too, because you can't even – could come from Saudi Arabia, be your closest staging area, and it'd be harassed by ballistic missiles the whole time. The American public won't stop with the casualties. Does America have enough forces to do it? Like, I guess – if you want to lose 50,000 men and nobody wants it.
Great
and
optics.
For what?
Israel for what? Exactly, for what? And the more they push that line or even try to attempt something that's that crazy, can you imagine the pushback?
I think they're going to try and take Greater Tomb. If you can write in TUNB, it used to be part of the UAE, which I call the UAO, the United Arab Oligarchs. It's now part of Iran. There's two. There's greater and lesser. Yeah. This is in the Gulf of Oman, and it's doable. This is the only reason I say it, because I don't even think Trump and Hegseth are so stupid when they're talking about Karg Island, which is over by Kuwait.
Yeah, that's like up right up here somewhere, right? There's Karg Island.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Sort of near Bashir. Yeah.
How are you going to get in?
Man, like, you got to go along that whole coastline, and you're like, we're coming with this many men to this place at this time in this many days. No way.
Blitzkrieg surprise.
Yeah. They're talking all that, but I think the real one is what I said.
I saw people were speculating, like, landing, like, over here, Khabar.
Oh, yeah. Try that.
I don't know anything about the topography there.
Yeah, I guess the thinking's, well, the Baluchistanis are like at least neutral and they'll be on our side. There's only three highways. You cut those off, get a foothold. I've heard the rhetoric.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying they will be successful. I don't even know
there if there is something else they could do, but I don't want to help them. But yeah, that's one of the plans. And like that would be better than Karg Island, mm-hmm. and that would be more useful than taking over the greater and lesser tombs areas. But that would be a place to stage an area. But then what? How are you going to hold it? Like, it's just to take something and then declare a victory and be like, yeah, okay, we'll give this back, try and use it as leverage and negotiation. This is, I know they're retarded. This is, I'm saying what they think. These are the same people who thought you could kill the Ayatollah and the whole thing would collapse and
right.
You know, 48-hour war and be done.
Yeah.
Which I guess, you know, the kind of victory of their own success, they had assassinated a president, they assassinated negotiators, they killed Nasrallah in Lebanon, they flattened Gaza in front of the whole world with very little consequence, no sanctions on Israel or anything except from like Bolivia and Venezuela, and then we guess what happened to Venezuela. Then they just thought, yeah, everything's gone so well, they eventually took Syria, you know, with Turkish and so they thought on to Iran, right? Going following the script, took out Iraq, Syria, and Libya, and Lebanon. Well, they thought they had Lebanon, and they're on to Iran. Hezbollah was not as weak as they thought. They thought they were out. Anyone who thought that was wrong, and almost everyone thought that. And I would have thought that had I not known people in Hezbollah being like, they got this, this, and this. What had happened? The strategy was without the land bridge in Syria, Hezbollah won't be able to get ballistic missiles from Iran and it'll cripple and wither on the vine and whatever. But the nature of war changed. Like it took them so long to break Syria that by then drone warfare was the way battlefields are. And they've got components to build drones themselves. They don't need to get them from Iran. So that's what they started doing. They just started pumping those out. Plus, they got the small arms that the SAA went through on black markets, and Hezbollah's back, and they're able to destroy Israelis battlefield wise. Now they don't have air defense systems or anything, and they have to take it on the chin in Beirut, and that sucks. And civilians are being killed by Israelis, but that's something that couldn't be fixed. They're like, as long as we kill their soldiers, We're not going to tap out this time. Even if all of Beirut ends up like Gaza, it doesn't matter because they're never going to leave us alone until we destroy them. And this is a one shot right here. Iran is winning this war so far, especially when you look at the Gulf states, all those U.S. bases, Bahrain gone, Kuwait airfield gone. Practically all of Iraq has been taken by Shia militia in Iran. That's embarrassing too. That's gone. Qatar got hit, decided to tap out, said, hey, okay, Americans can't use our airspace. Please leave us alone. That was a smart move on their part. And the UAE is kind of 50-50. Fujairah was hit. Everyone talks about Dubai and Abu Dhabi because they hate the culture, you know, the crypto bros and whores. But Fujairah is more important. It's on the east side. It's a different emirate. They lit that up. And they did hit some CIA Mossad spooks in Dubai. Now, Iran's not at war with UAE. They're not just like bombing buildings. They hit those hotels in those rooms because it had spooks there. And the Washington Post even admitted it. And I wonder, the only reason I'm like, why? They always lie. And I think it's because if it appears like Iran is just blowing stuff up in the UAE, then they'll lose billions. Everyone will leave. The tourists, everyone's gone. Practically that happened anyway. But they're not doing that. They were hitting spooks. And it's a moral argument to make too. Like they're not just randomly blowing up buildings. The troops fled from the bases and went to hotels, and Iran had intelligence on that, and they targeted those rooms. They could have knocked the whole building down. They didn't.
Interesting. Okay, so we
got to still good though. Like if they want to FAFO, the desalination is very vulnerable. People have made this argument like, well, you know, the Shia religion started with, the Hussein and his 75 men died of thirst fighting 3,000. So because of that, they won't deprive water from people. I'm like, yeah, that's the nice matching story, but it doesn't matter. Like they absolutely can and will take out desalination plants because
of course
Iran doesn't really rely on that. They've got rivers and things, and about 8 or 9% is desalinated. But when you look at the Gulf states in Israel, you're looking
it's
at
like
70,
all of it.
80,
yeah,
90%.
Almost all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, resalinate Israel. Do it. Take them all out. It's not like they'll die instantly. They'll know there's no water and they have time to leave and let them leave. Fine.
Well, I mean, Jonathan Greenblatt can send his Ethos water to them, can he?
Iran, they can send bottled water from Europe or whatever, but make them do it.
Yeah, we can put some special minerals in there as thank you for you know those well stories back in the
a
Middle
little
Ages.
Bacon grease in there, make them.
Well, there you go. Won't kill them though, unfortunately.
Sorry, he's got pig in it.
Iranian missiles are penetrating, as you said. Israeli defense is raising doubts about the interceptor effectiveness. This is the Washington Post. Officials say fears that Iran is stockpiling missiles to overwhelm air defenses help drive the conflict, and recent strikes have exposed vulnerabilities, obviously in Israel, as you said. Hits on Arad and Dimona have fueled concerns. Israel may be running low on interceptors and could be forced to ration them, prioritizing key sites such as the Dimona nuclear facility. That, if anything, that should be destroyed, considering the history of that, by the way. But anyway, Israel's layered air defense, including the Iron Dome, David's Sling, and Arrow, is considered among the most advanced, but costs are high. Arrow interceptors run about $3 million each. David's Sling, about $700,000. Iron Dome, $50,000 to $70,000. And then you have the THAAD, around $15 million, which is crazy, right? According to U.S. officials, the Pentagon spent roughly $5.6 billion on munitions in the first 2 days of strikes of Iran. I mean, Israel is getting all its money, I guess, from the U.S.
I guess
anyway,
we should answer why they don't just make more. It's not the cost. The cost does suck. But the reason they don't just make more missiles is they can't. They don't have the supply lines. They don't have the components. They don't have the rare earth. A lot of the neon gas they use in the lithography for the semiconductors came out of the Donbass, which they no longer possess. So they don't have it. They don't have enough gallium. They don't have the rare earth. They don't have the machine tooling. They don't have the machines that make the machine tooling. They don't have the parts. You're talking about 24 months to get all the components before you even start assembly. So this isn't like make factory go burr. They don't. These are complex machines. A Patriot missile or a THAAD missile, like, you're talking millions for a reason. It's very complicated to make these things. They don't have the milling either to make it the smooth that you need, and the cylinders, that these aren't just like tubes with TNT. Okay. These are very complicated. They have guidance systems, which are very sensitive and have very rare types of metal and chips. And this, you can't just make more. You can make maybe 500. If you add Japan, maybe 600 a year. And they blow through that in a matter of days.
Yeah.
So you need to find a different way to defend yourself, which would be to take out the ballistic missiles. Like, a good offense is a defense. But like we just covered, they're under the mountains. They're under the desert. They can fire from silos, and it just looks like sand from a satellite. They don't have intelligence on the ground, apparently. Some of these launchers are mobile. And this is the thing. You want to take out the missiles. A launcher is replaceable. It's a truck with a tube. We killed this many launchers. Fine. They just that's easy. That doesn't matter. You have to take out like where the storage, that's what you need. And they can't find them because they're underground.
They're deep.
And you can go ahead and say, yeah, they're underground. You can go ahead and say it. Okay, good luck. It's the size of Western Europe. It's 90 million people. It's got a ring of mountains around it. What was your plan if they fire back? They didn't have a plan B. They really thought killing the Ayatollah and blowing up a school full of girls was going to go well. And they just quit.
Then they think the Iranian people are going to do the rest, the dirty work for them, right? That's what they believe.
It reminds me of the anti-Castro Cubans. Like, well, just do the Bay of Pigs and the Cubans will rise up and let... Didn't work.
No, it didn't. Fascinating. And, of course, this is just strengthening the regime. This is strengthening it. It is, you know... And I'm still like, I get that they're incompetent and they got a hubris and they just think that we'll pull this off. I know that their window is closing. They're getting less support. I think they're panicking, part of it too. You know, the Zionist grip on America is weaning, right?
Oh, I almost brought popcorn to this show as a prop. Like, that's me. Like, before I'm like waving flags, now I'm just like eating popcorn. Like, this is the best ever. And think of the new Ayatollah. Imagine if someone killed Lana and all your kids and your dad.
Right, exactly. Yep.
There's no hate. There's no word
I'll give up,
that level.
You know,
hate.
I won't fight them anymore. You're dedicated for life, some of these people now. Like, they're
that's what they got. Like, oh, you're going to negotiate with him? You want to talk to the new Ayatollah? There's not enough middle fingers. He needs more hands. Like, first of all, you attacked him under the guise of negotiations twice. Very Yankee of you.
That's very a very Jewy of you.
For you Civil War nerds, they're right. Always like, Stuart Palin was a massacre. Forrest killed all those black soldiers. I'm like, that is because they had put up a white flag twice and fired on Confederates. Then they got their comeuppance. And it's nasty and all that, but you need to know that detail. So that's perfectly. And no, they're not going to negotiate with you. They knew that this whole uranium enrichment, that's all crap. Like, this war is not about any kind of recent decisions about uranium enrichment or any of that.
Well, this Tulsi Gabbard testified that the nuclear threat was taken. It was removed in what is it, July, June last year, basically.
Yeah, they offered it too. Oh, yeah, it got obliterated, apparently.
Yeah.
And then it was
actually, no, it on the table, it's 2 weeks.
Fine, you can have all the 60 minutes, and Israel preemptively hit the war. And then Trump goes around because Iran closed the Strait of Hormuz, which didn't all of us say that, you know? Pepe Escobar and I were talking about that in 2014, saying, well, Iran could do this, they could do that. They could close the Red Sea, too. The Houthi proved they can do that on their own. They haven't done that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another problem they could add. I mean, Larry Johnson, Scott Ritter, myself, Ray McGovern, Colonel Wilkerson, you go through the list. Every analyst worth their salt saying, yeah, Iran will and can close the strait. Yes, they have ballistic missiles. No, they're not running low on ammo. You will run out of everything that's happened is what we said would happen. So where are these people in the Pentagon? Surely they know what we know. And I'm sure some of them do, but they're not being listened to. He's got Hegseth. He's got Huckabee, who doesn't believe in dinosaurs. We've got, just a cauldron of neoconservative Jews with a little tongue in his ear.
That's not the biggest fault of Huckabee, by the way, but we'll add that on too. With the dinosaurs.
Huckabee's not a Pentagon guy, but he's a
no, I know. Yeah. State Department. Yeah.
But I mean, it's people like that. He's got like real estate agents. Like with Witkoff, you can name him whatever. He's still just a mobster from New York. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You sent him to Ukraine. He didn't even know the name of the oblast that he's negotiating about. And Kushner, you know, son of a felon,
yeah.
Charles Kushner went to prison. This guy, he doesn't belong. He's talking about making condos in Gaza.
Yep.
His brain is not in reality, you know. No, that ain't happening. Nobody wants to move to Gaza after you bulldoze out. Mm-mm. But this is the kind of people, Lutnick and stuff, and Mark Levine is in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're talking about. And they're like, oh, we're going to go to Hark Island. I'm like, nah, you're not. And even if it's a play fake, like I assume it is, I assume they're not that stupid. And they take some other island. It won't work. Like, you're going to sacrifice lives and maybe you hold it, maybe you don't. And then what? The strait's still going to be closed. Even if you took out every land battery, that's not what you can't. That's not their only weapon to close the strait.
You're going to permanently occupy
in the war,
You're going to permanently occupy the strait? Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, is that the plan? Or are you just going to sit there and like, why don't you send the Israeli Navy? They're the ones that started the war.
Yeah.
Like, why are you asking Korea and Japan and China and France? Like, Israel started the war. Send their Navy to the strait.
Absolutely. But it's never the flip-flop, right? It's like, America's dragged in there, obviously, by Israel. I show the news piece even. This is undeniable now, right? Trump approved Iran operation after Netanyahu argued for joint killing of Khomeini, sources say. Anyway, Reuters. They're dragged into it by them, and America's like, oh, shit, you know. And of course, Rubio spills the beans on this. Then it was, Mike Johnson spills the beans on this, right? It's like, well, we had to defend our assets in the region because Israel initiated this, and otherwise they would kill Americans. So this is your greatest ally. You're dragged along. Yeah. They don't even consult you on this. Like, hey, bro, well, maybe time. We should.
Right? This is true promise four. So anyone's like, well, I think the Americans planned it with them. I'm like, maybe, but maybe the date was different. But there was true promise one. They attacked in April. They attacked in October of 2024. They attacked in June 2025, and now they attacked February 28th, 2026. This is the fourth time Israel has preemptively attacked Iran. Don't give me this crap that it's about petrodollars or whatever. you know, Iran was already not selling on dollars since 2006. From 2007 to 2019, Japan bought oil from Iran in yen, not dollars. Well, India did the same thing in rupees, not dollars. That's how it already was. Iran would have sold everything on dollars if you had not put sanctions on them.
Right.
The whole reason they got away from the dollars is because of the sanctions. And the whole reason for the sanctions is because of Israel.
Yeah.
Following Israel around makes people move off the dollar, not on. So everyone's saying they're doing this to like make them use dollars. It's the opposite. They're not using dollars because you're doing this.
Yeah, with Jews, you lose. Imagine that. Part of me, Ryan, though, I mean, I've listened to plenty of these rabbis, and I think, you know, the final boss of Judaism, if you will, is the religion. Ethnicity is tied in, like we talked about last time. They're inseparable. But I'm saying the Orthodox, like, that's the final boss of this.
You
not some secular
have
thing.
The concept of the ethnic group without the religion.
It's, well, it's, that's what I'm saying. It's like
the
one
that invented the chosenness and all that and the land and, you know.
But anyway, it's created a state of mind. That's my point. It's created a state of mind, and I think they really believe that, like, as they're undermining, let's say, a nation that they consider to be Amalek or something, right? Whether that's Palestinians or Persians, Iranians, whatever. They see that, well, that's God's will then, you see? And that just has to be done.
Amalek?
My point is, right, that these rabbis, they want the West to be brought to its knees, right? They've talked about, like, America and Germany and, you know, Europe, France. I played 5 clips recently, again, like resurfaced and old ones and new ones are coming in as well, how they talk about this, that it seems to be this kind of like scorched earth tactic, like they hate us more than they love their own, and this is more just about destruction and chaos. That's what I'm saying. Maybe there is no plan. It's just death and misery and chaos, you know what I mean? I don't know. What's your hunch?
Before, when you were saying that, I thought you were talking about the United States, not Israel. The U.S. just obeys Israel, obeys the lobby, and Trump's doing a bit of personal profiteering, him and his sons. You know, they're playing around with the market, and they're making bets and things, but America, all their wars in the Middle East, starting with Iraq, have been because of Israel's influence. It's not in American interest. There's no such thing as real politics. That died a long time ago. These people act for selective commercial interests from the donor class. And the current ruling donor class is a bunch of child-raping racial supremacists that think God's a real estate agent and granted them land. They hate Europeans. They still want more revenge on Germany. They want to destroy you. They want to destroy your race. They're behind the open borders. They have this idea that, you know, the clergy plan, like, that's a real thing. They really believe in all this like bloodline stuff, like that. They're eugenicists, and they put themselves at the top, and they collectively hate whole swaths of people.
Yeah, everyone but
that's
themselves.
Not a Jew. They're like, you're just a dumb animal.
Yeah, all the goyim. That's just, you know, it's us and it's them, and that's. I mean, I'm seeing clips now, and I know it might be an algorithmic like bubble because I do interact with those clips, or I like them, or, you know, look at them or whatever, right? But like, but just the sheer amount of clips that are coming out over the last few months here. I mean, it's been going really since October 7th, 2023. But like, just these absolutely crazy, just like torturing little kids, like 10-month-year-olds, burning them with cigarettes, and the military personnel talking about exterminating them. They're talking about Amalek. They're talking about killing everyone, cleansing everyone from the area. It's just rabbis talking about it, the people in the government. It just keeps coming. Like, it's not a one-off. Yeah. It's not just like Netanyahu or something. Like, this is all of them. It's all of them.
It's like from Ben-Gurion to Netanyahu and everybody in between. Golda Meir especially, like she said, we can never forgive the Arabs for making us kill their children. She played the victim. You're a child killer, and you're like, oh, they made us kill their children. Like,
that's
you
just it. Yeah.
Killed their children. No one made you kill children. You did that yourself.
They made us do it. That's right. Yeah.
Even in pain as they beat you. It's every accusation is a confession, and it's been that way, you know.
But even like the people, not just the political Zionist elite in the country, but like regular people in the country, I mean,
a heroicized prison rapist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Paraded him on TV. What was his name? I forget his name now.
Every single person in the settlement is a must agree because they're just going over there and annexing land and engaging in ethnic cleansing.
Yeah. You've seen the clips. They go beat up the Palestinians in these areas now and harassing them. They're dumping rotten figs and bringing in their cattle close to their house just to like harass,
you know. They do that in Hebron. And if the Palestinians fight back, the IDF will shoot them. And then the newspaper will say, IDF kills terrorists.
We defended ourselves. Exactly. Yep, definitely. Yeah. No, they're talking about like them getting sick and dying and stuff. I'm saying it's just like genocide is in there. You know, that's it's all of them. This is the whole. And so what I'm saying is that America is kind of let's go back to that point again. They're waning in terms of their popularity. They know it's kind of the younger generations don't support this. And then ironically, the more they push in this way, the more they lose, obviously, support. They lose any type of anyone who ever supported them. So many people will come around and just like, what the hell? You know, what is like?
That's why they did it now. This?
They have they to
knew,
do it. That's the only
they knew their
chance.
Support was waning.
Yeah.
India can't prop them up. It's not a real superpower. And they're like, we got to do this now. And we got to do it with Trump. Because they've lost the left. They've lost most of the right politically. Like AIPAC's been exposed. You saw a lot of Republicans just lose just now.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, Dan Bilzerian is running for Congress against Randy Fine, 6th District of Florida.
Really?
He has my full support.
Oh, boy.
All right. Live in Florida. Like, this just happened like hours ago. He decided. I was talking with him about it. I'm like, do it, man.
All right.
I will help advise him and all that. Like, we got a team. He's running for Congress against Randy Fine. I would vote for a dead dog over Randy Fine.
As a Republican, then, obviously? So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who cares? The title's whatever.
No, I'm just saying that's what it is. I'm getting my U.S. politics right of how that works.
And Randy Fine is almost as fat as the foreign minister of Bahrain. That'd be close. I don't think you pull up those pictures. It looked like Jabba the Gut.
Kicked out of 109 buffets, that guy.
Yeah, he makes Golden Corral cry.
Yeah, shit, close it down. close, he's coming.
I saw a video of Randy Fine was going and voting for other people. Like, he was just like hitting buttons. I don't know if it was AI or real. Because, you know, AI has lost a lot.
I think that was AI. I mean, it must have been.
Because like, if he really did that, he'd go to jail, you'd think. But I don't know. It's Florida and he's Jewish, so maybe he could get away with it.
It's possible. You know what I mean?
Uthmeyer, the AG, one of the youngest, you know, he's just they're all slop, man.
Oh, it's incredible.
I know people that go to maybe I should say this. So Adam from Patrick Ben David had a birthday party recently. And at someone else's house, like $100 million mansion, whatever, they do their Shabbats and stuff there and all. And like, had all these ladies of the night, you could say, you know, there. I got wind of that. I got some pictures and video. There, this looks like AI.
I think it's AI.
But I don't know. Because it's getting so good. It's just something for sure.
It's something with the kind of the smoothed hue over it. I know they also make it look like it's they've shot with a cell phone camera on a monitor, right? That's what they do as well, and makes it look like it's more real. But
it's still AI that too.
I think that's true. Yeah, I think that's AI. But anyway, where is he? Well, there he is. But I just want a photo. I don't know. We'll pull him up. Yeah, but okay. So he's running.
He's gross.
That's good.
Bilzerian all day.
Who votes for Randy? That's the other thing, though. They're cheating. I mean, who votes for Lindsey Graham still in South Carolina to this day? Who? Tell me that any of that's real.
Well, I mean, sometimes he goes unopposed. He said such seniority and so much money. You know, he's got all that AIPAC money.
Not bad.
Looks like Ted Cruz.
Yep.
It doesn't match South Carolina at all. So I'm like, who is voting for these
people? That's just it. It's amazing. Yeah, I'm looking. There it is. That's the one. I don't know. It might all be rigged.
Oh, Lord.
There we go. Nice hog. That's an offense to hogs, by the way. So, I want to show you this, though. Check this out. This is kind of interesting. Here are Iran's five conditions for ending war after rejecting the U.S. ceasefire plan. As you said, it was this bullshit stuff. There were no negotiation talks, right? They said, oh, it's going very well.
Yeah,
and it was
like, they talked to Iran. They talked to Turkey, Egypt, and Pakistan.
Yeah.
in Egypt was like, nah. And so Turkey and Pakistan are like, okay, here's what they want. And yeah, Iran's like, nah, no. Here's our conditions.
So now they're pushing back on this. Let me read this here, guys. You might find this interesting. Iran offered a counterproposal Wednesday to end the war in the region after rejecting a ceasefire plan backed by the Trump administration. Leaders in Tehran are asking for sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz and a complete end to aggression from the U.S. and Israel, among other demands. Iran will end the war at a time of its own choosing. So this is, I don't think this is posturing. I think they know that, like, we can hang in there. This is, I mean, it's bad. Look, obviously they're getting bombed. I'm not going to say Iran is winning. Yeah. I wouldn't go that far to say that they're winning, but they're hanging on, and they're hanging on much better and longer than I think many people anticipated. So they're like they're turning the tables here. And I was like, no, in fact, this is what we want for this to stop.
The thing is, what you just said is this.
Yeah.
They can't take a ceasefire because it'll just 6 months later, they'll be doing this again. And they've realized this. They have to keep going until the U.S. is so destroyed militarily that they're going to have to leave all the adjacent countries. Like, all those bases in the Gulf have to go. That's a condition that they will not bend on. Because if they don't, they stop. They know you'll just regroup, reload, and come at them again. And they've already lost so much. They're not going to go through all. They're not doing that. They know that you're out of interceptors. They know you're out of standoff munitions. This is the point in the war where they start going on the offense and winning and picking their targets, and there's nothing you could do about it. So, of course, you want to call timeout because you know, like, it's like your fighter's gassed out and he doesn't have anything left. And you're like, timeout, timeout. And Iran's like, we're beating you.
We weathered
the first few rounds, Tyson, and now it's our turn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're going to continue this to their choosing. When they say that about Israel and the U.S., they're like, okay, no more strikes on Hezbollah. Get out of the Gulf. I don't know if they'll get them out of Saudi Arabia, but Bahrain, Kuwait, Qatar, UAE, and Iraq, done. You're out. Get out.
Yeah.
They were starting to leave Iraq anyway. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It will not allow Trump to determine the timing of the war's end, according to a statement by Iran's consulate general in Mumbai. Ultimately, the Iranians' response, included five conditions for ending the war. The acts of aggression, as I said, coming to an end, ensuring that war will not recur, and that's, of course, how do you ensure that, by the way? This is interesting to me. A payment of war damages and reparations.
That's what not occurring.
Well, I mean, not with Israel as close as they are, though, right? You're never going to guarantee. You can't never guarantee. I think they're smart enough to understand that even if they sign something or say something or a treaty or whatever it might be,
with that's a very American-like condition. It's like, here's a condition that's unmeetable, which is our way of saying we're not stopping the war until we're done killing you.
Yeah, this might be the way right here. A payment of war damages and reparations. Interesting. The ending of the war across all fronts, involving all resistance group and Iranian sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. The demand echoed comments from an unnamed Iranian official shared on the Iranian state broadcast outlet. The unnamed official said Tehran will continue to strike with heavy blows in the region, according to the Associated Press. And let's go back to the point that we mentioned there, right, of like them hitting all the energy infrastructure in all the Gulf countries and stuff like that, stock market crashing, the energy restrictions now. I mean, Australia is like the 30 gas stations in two of the major states in Australia are out of fuel right now. Like this is bad. I mean, this is bad.
Getting that bad. Cuba's a different situation, but it was getting that bad in Vietnam.
Vietnam too. Yeah. Slovenia. Slovenia has
80% of its oil from Kuwait. 80% from that little fiefdom.
Yep.
They did allow a tanker from Thailand to go through, and Thailand will sell to Vietnam. And Japan negotiated its oil out, although that won't make up for how much they lost from the Gulf. And I imagine that probably South Korea and some others will be next. South Korea bought oil from Iran when NATO had sanctions on Iran and everyone turned on them. South Korea continued to buy oil from them. But we'll see.
That's a bold move considering how close they are to the U.S.
The current foreign minister used to be the ambassador to Japan, and he really likes them. So they're allowed out. Takaichi was walking a tightrope. Like, everybody grilled her on X, but because she danced or whatever. But She has the lowest rate of inflation in decades. She got her oil out of Iran. She did it without pissing off the U.S. And she curbed immigration by 86%. People are like, oh, they're letting 1.2 million immigrants in. I'm like, yeah, well, Ishiba had 3 million every year. She's letting 1.2 over 3 years. That's an 86% reduction in migrants. Any country on earth would love to have an 86% reduction in migrants. And she did this in a matter of months. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't care if she dances. I don't care if she hugs Trump. I care about the results. And the results were curbed immigration, got the oil, lowered inflation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's doing a great job, in my opinion.
Interesting. Yeah. Thus far, Iran has struck Kuwait International Airport and other targets in the Persian Gulf, countries in the midst of Trump's Tuesday pause. So the retort there was like, we're going to just bomb your power plants and infrastructure and stuff. And it's this like toothless posturing of just like weak to how weak this is. And then just like folding back and then demanding help from NATO countries. And they're like, nah. And they're like, well, we don't need you anyway. We're going to bomb the biggest. And then it's like, there's nothing there. It's amazing how toothless it is.
And remember that we're going to send in the Kurds.
Was that with Ben Shapiro's? No.
Wanted to. The Kurds were like, we're not going and dying in those mountains.
Why would
finally
they?
The Kurds figured it out. They're just using you as cannon fodder, as they did in Iraq and Syria.
Always have.
Don't do this again.
Yeah, always
they
have.
Finally figured it out. There is a brain cell in there somewhere.
Yeah, I doubt it, but you know.
Maybe the idiots all died already by obeying.
It's possible, yeah.
They're like, now, and the other thing is they have a bit of money now. They got Rojava, they got a chunk of Iraq, and now they don't want to die. But anyway, the Kurdish force isn't happening. Escorting ships is not happening. International armada is not happening. And this talk about the Marines taking islands sounds like hot air, but they did move the 82nd Airborne.
They have moved a lot, yeah.
Yeah,
they
it
are
looks
moving
like
a
they're
lot.
Dumb enough to do it.
Because I think that's what they want. Listen, part of me, Ryan, felt this like, I couldn't help to notice it, right? Because even the energy thing, there was this interesting, and we covered it in our member show, the Western Warrior show, but like there were these rumors, there was a few, and this is not like a mainstream narrative. This is like apparently more individual captains of ships and things like that said that they've tried 2 weeks before even the outbreak of the war in Iran to actually dock and unload their oil and their kerosene and jet, whatever they were carrying, and they've not been allowed to. It was like a build-up to the energy crisis, which is just, I don't know what to make of that, but we know about the net zero stuff. We know about the climate lockdowns, energy restrictions, and it felt like that's kind of gone into hiding for a while, that agenda. And it was almost like, now it's back again. It was like this COVID restriction, like Slovenia putting restrictions on where you can drive, gas is out, right? It's kind of like we're back in that era again. I don't know. I'm just putting that there. That's an interesting thing.
It could be a planned wealth transfer. Like the Israelis could care less whether the Gulf Arabs billionaires become poor and lose their oil and their societies.
Of course not. That's just a means to,
They'd like to kill all the Arabs. It doesn't matter to them.
No.
They're like, okay, we'll take that instead. They could care less. But America's allies, it matters. You'd make Europe and East Asia mad and you'd lose the Gulf countries themselves. But the Israelis, they know America will prop them up and rebuild and spend as much money as needed for them. Mm-hmm. They get oil and gas from Azerbaijan, Caspian region through Turkey, so they don't care. They will throw the UAE, Saudi Arabia under the bus. It doesn't matter.
In a heartbeat, absolutely. I mean, as long as they can use them, they will, but they're not reliant on them. Ultimately, they want them all gone. They want to rule the earth. They want to the seat of their kingdom. I mean, they talk, Netanyahu brings this up all the time, that we're close to securing the realm, which is the echoes of the, what was that, the document again? Securing the realm was the first part of the,
The Protocols of Elders of Zion.
No, was it the project for the New American?
Oh, it was securing the realm. Yeah, the PNAC document.
PNAC it was, right, securing the realm.
That's funny, because that's also in the protocols.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, yeah. Yeah, the forgery. Anyway, They're talking about like the kingdom is near. Even Netanyahu, I know they play on this too. Obviously, I'm not saying this will happen, but I'm saying they're pushing this at the narrative to get people to think like, oh yeah, that's right. Like the Moshiach is almost ready now. We're going to build a third temple, and it's culminating in this like crash of like everything, right? It's like they'll probably start building the temple as like everything is burning around them and being bombed.
They
essentially
could blow up the Dome on the Rock. They've already been tunneling under it for a long time. I remember putting that story out many years ago.
And you saw how close the missile fragment was, right? It was like 400 meters away, I think, from the dome.
They could blow it up from below, blame it on Iran, whatever.
Absolutely.
Like, yep.
Rabbis have said that. If I was in charge, you know.
Slovenia.
Yeah, Slovenia limits fuel purchase. Some pumps run dry. I think I showed you the screenshot. This is from a few days ago now. Australia running out of gas. Jet fuel, most critical, 27 days. And then it's diesel after that, and then it's petrol. New Zealand, 37 days. Jet fuel, 16 days. Diesel, 13 days. Petrol, 19. These have only gone down since then. Thank you.
And they act
so
like they're the main character in a movie, and this just won't happen. It absolutely will happen.
They want it to happen. This is the point. That was like kind of what I was getting to there. Like, if they seek the destruction and the weakening of, I mean, obviously, yes, all GOI nations, but like specifically the West, right? Like, that we are thinking this, they're dumb and stupid, but I'm saying just ruining everything might be what they want. They want this to crash. They want fertilizer shortages. They want food shortages, skyrocketing prices.
Well, the West needs to realize you don't blame Iran for closing the strait. You have to blame Israel for starting the war. That's why they closed the strait.
And I think that realization is happening in the mass consciousness, more or less. They, you know.
Well, over here, that's what they're saying, because we have to pay for plastic bags now. Those used to be free.
And they're like, oh, my gosh.
It's something that, like, even a
big
mother...
bold move.
Why do I have to pay a plastic bag? Like, oh, because of the lack of oil, because of the war. Like, it makes them have to pay attention to it. In South Korea, like, I lived in Japan about 20 years. They're very apolitical. But Koreans are super political just because North Korea forces you to have to have some attention to stuff. And they're blaming Israel.
Good.
They're not blaming Iran. They're like, why do the Israelis do this? And why can't Iran just let at least our boats go through? And I think Iran probably will soon, but they're going to have to negotiate that out. But they are blaming the Israelis. They know that Israel started this war and it's their war, because guess who doesn't own the media here?
Yep. Not them.
Not
interesting.
Them.
So there were no talks. It was all just to save face. And of course, as you said, in that moment, I think you saw it, the whale that swooped in, like it was within the realm of 5 minutes. Someone in that room picked up a phone and called outside, and they made a deal in one move, $1.5 billion in S&P 500 futures was bought, while $192 million in oil were sold.
Was it?
Lutnick? I'm guessing Lutnick.
I think Lutnick. They're all like Barron Trump. I'm like, nah, it's Howard Lutnick.
Nah, it's one of the...
He went in the room. It's Lutnick.
But yeah, the orders were 4 to 6 larger than anything else at the time. And even this post, this tweet here, was kind of not downplaying it, but they didn't fully like contextualize like how insane that is. Like, we've known this always have happened, but no one gives a shit. And it's so blatant now. In your face, detectable. You're telling me there's no KYC for these accounts that trade. There's no know your. We're trading with a couple of, you know, $1,000 in crypto,
oh, really?
And it's like, oh, know your customer. You got to know every trade, know everything. These guys can just move around $1.5 billion and no one knows who it is. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, you guys got kicked off Coinbase and all that stuff too, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right on my ankles of being the most banned people.
we're right there. Pinterest banned me. How about that? Pinterest.
Yeah,
Slack.
Like, yeah, I can't even use crypto. People are like, just use crypto. I'm like,
no,
I've been banned on crypto since its inception, really. And but these people can do blatant Pelosi level insider trading, and it doesn't matter.
Nothing happens. No one says anything.
Did you see Trump say he got a gift, a very expensive gift? Can't tell you what it was. Can't tell you who I was talking to, but it's the right person, and they gave me a very nice gift. I'm like,
what the fuck? What was
he's
this?
Like the kid with his invisible. I have a girlfriend, but she's at another school. Like, it's just like, like that guy.
You get a very nice gift. U.S. Senator alleged insider trading. Yeah, you think over $1.5 billion trade before Trump Iran
hold. You mean the same people raping children with Epstein would steal money?
Can you imagine it? Yeah, I know. Incredible. Who could have thought that they could sink that low after they fucked the kids?
I want the crooks from the Malaysian Sovereign Wealth Fund that stole all that money and like
The Malaysian was that Mark? Was that Marcos? Deal. That thing?
It was. It involved the Rothschild Bank, Goldman Sachs, like all of them. It was a huge thing, and they even went to Jeffrey Epstein to help him mitigate with the regulators, which he was able to do somehow, if we all know how. But you're talking about billions of dollars, $5 billion that Sachs had to pay out for their part in it, and they were buying yachts and jets and all kinds of stuff with that. It should have been the super scandal. It should have been bigger than. It should have been the main news item that this amount of money was laundered and stolen, and it nothing, no news in the, well, at least in the West, like that this even occurred. The MDB ones, it's just like, okay, they got caught. Banks had to pay out because of their role in the money laundering. The main culprits just disappeared, went to China, whatever.
No one is perp walked. You know what I mean? Like
no perp walks, no one arrested. Yeah. Same thing with the Epstein files. Foreigners in Norway and UK and stuff got arrested.
They took their responsibility, it seems like. Even if it was to kind of save face. But yeah, Jagland, Rud. What was his name again? Tur Rud. I forget his name. Who else was it? Man, I covered this just a couple of weeks ago.
Andrew.
Yeah, so a couple of the scapegoats, right? They go for them and they put them in, you know. Yeah, it's very disappointing.
So all the news is like Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, like no.
Yeah, no, yeah, Prince time. Andrew. Like who, yeah. These are just symbolic, stupid people that were dumb enough to go along with it. I mean, sure, hold them accountable. I'm not saying don't hold them accountable. But like, well, Britain, Peter Mandelson, we'll see what comes out of that. That's a more interesting target
yeah,
to get.
Yeah, he's a gay Jew. And yes. He's out of labor. But the thing is, I had a list of them. There were like 7 or 8 MPs I found. I got it right here.
Yeah. Read those
involved
off.
Involved in kitty
Remind
fiddling.
Us. Yep.
Yeah.
Or those that were quitting, or those that were like fired.
Yeah. Dan Norris, Connor McGinn, Mike Hill, Grant Davis, Christian Matheson, Keith Vaz. Keith Vaz is gay too. He was paying male hookers with cocaine. And of course Peter Mandelson himself, David Graham, Efran Muhammad, Daniel Lee, like. These are, except for the last two, those are all MPs. And then they had others that helped cover it up. And they're all Labor Party, too.
Isn't that interesting?
All of them
yeah.
involved in, like, child pornography,
yep.
prostitution, and so on.
That is the Woodcock establishment.
Woodcock Bauman sent pictures to what he thought was a 13-year-old boy. It was a police officer, fortunately.
Yep.
Sean Morton, who's on his third – okay, he's a three-peat child porn offender, which also involved bestiality, where kids are being raped by dogs.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Just hating
That's
these
the UK.
People.
That's what the filth you're dealing with.
Yep.
Peter Mandelson is really the tip of the iceberg in that. That's just how they operate. And I look at Keir Starmer and I'm like, yeah, he's definitely a switch hitter.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean,
he's got those Lindsey Graham vibes, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, yeah. He does everything and
they abuse children over there like Lindsey Graham with his hamsters.
Yeah, I mean, again, they rape other males, and you know, this is what they do. The environment here. Here's another
Police
Jewish pedophile.
Rather than scandal, three cops were caught involved raping women themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go.
I'm so glad I could say rape. I don't have to say these. Euphemisms? Stuff like work on YouTube.
Oh,
like,
no,
this isn't going to be on YouTube.
Can't even say rape on YouTube? Oh, my gosh.
You can't even say killed. You have to be like, they got unalive. This is stupid.
I can never like do TikTok it. I can never talk, adhere to those. Yeah, exactly. LinkedIn talk.
They got murdered.
Yeah, Liron Velleman. This is, I mean, he's just a small side thing. But, like, again, like, he was spared jail after he had texted what he believed it was a sting, I think, but I believed to be a 13-year-old girl, his, you know, penis pictures or something. And he was mm-hmm. like, he spared jail, right? 18 months suspended sentence, because he was like, well, he had a very promising political career, and the fact that this was taken away from him with this controversy show, that's already punishment enough, was the argument. It's like, yeah, exactly, because he was like he's one of those guys, part of the Jewish labor movement to try to, like, push the left-wing stuff, but pro-Zionist still, it's so bizarre to me. But anyway, he was part of that. And that is the establishment. That is what they diddle kids. They're pedophiles. Mm-hmm. They're Zionists. Many of them are Jewish. Not all, of course, but many of them are. And that's the environment that they are also groomed, you know, if you will, to go to tap into. This is the norm. This is the political system, and we're just finding this out essentially over the last couple of years now.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of them, and like I went through. I found all those names in about a day because I've been busy with the Iran war and Epstein and all that. But I was like, this does relate to Peter Mandelson. So I'll count that as Epstein research too. And I went through and I'm like, man, it's in like BBC, the Mirror, for like regular newspapers talking about it. This isn't hidden, but it's just one after the other that are caught in child porn and
yeah. I know.
You know, gay prostitutes. It just
keeps coming.
In one case, bestiality.
Yep.
I was just thinking, how did you get in this position? And in the case of Sean Morton, like, how did you get caught two times already? And now this is the third time.
Still operating. I mean, you know?
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Borje Brende, that's where I forgot. The Norwegian who took over kind of the World Economic Forum, who was the CEO of it, at least.
That's right.
He resigned, obviously. Leon Black, Apollo, he's been up in the fritz around him. Tom Pritzker, right, the Hyde guy.
Leon Black stepped down as chairman before these files came out.
Maybe because he knew.
He'd already been pressured into that.
Okay. Larry Summers, what happened? I didn't hear anything about Larry Summers is on this list. Did he? He resigned
from some AI company he was a face for.
Okay.
Some minor punishment, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, the point is there's been a number of them, right, that have either resigned or they've been fired or quit. But again, only so far European countries have taken any level of responsibility of at least doing investigations, arresting these people. Again, will something happen? That's still up in the air for the most part. But I heard that, was it Torje Jagland who had apparently committed suicide?
US did arrest Maxwell. That's before the files, and then Epstein. And France arrested Jean-Luc Brunel. And those are the three worst ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the money, like the donor class, not the perverts trafficking the girls. Those guys went to jail and women. But the
bankrollers of
the whole backbone
thing.
Of it, yep. Would be the Les Wexners, Leon Blacks, Glenn Dubin, Rothschild, and so on. Nothing happening to them.
Nope. They're fine. You know, they're fine.
Jeff Staley is in trouble, but only because J.P. Morgan sued him. Because they had to throw somebody under the bus.
Yeah, again, to save face.
I guess Stacey Plaskett out of the Virgin Islands is in hot water still, but yeah.
Yeah.
Goy, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
Bailey.
Exactly. So the scapegoats, that's fine. They throw them under the bus, mm-hmm. Give them a couple of bones, and then keep going and keep moving, essentially. Keep covering it up. Okay. So we're seeing these videos daily. I mean, multiple one of them. Every day I go on, there's like IDF yeah. soldiers picking on little girls, taking their bikes, and they're crying. There's one was just gruesome about the 10-month. This lady was reacting to it as well. She was like, she was making that point too. Like,
burn marks on his knees and legs, yeah. From cigarettes. And
she was like, it's all of them. It's not just like it's the whole military. It's all of these Israelis living them, because otherwise. Where's the op-eds denouncing all of this? Where's the videos? Where's the selfies? There are maybe a handful I can find or something like that.
Openly colonizing the West Bank and annexing territory every day.
Yeah.
And Israelis are fine with it.
They are fine
they
with
really
it.
They really brainwashed the whole society. Like, but I'm a Jew. And it's just, yeah. They agree with it. Now, some of the Orthodox Jews don't want to do military service, but that's for their own sake. It's not because
I think they're the final boss.
What military's doing. They yeah. just don't want to have to do it.
No, because they're the top. They're the top tier. That's why. And in fact, some of the rabbis even said that. Like, it's like it was interesting. I think it was the Mizrahi rabbi. He was saying, even like the American Jews to make Aliyah and stuff. He's like, they're all actually goyim. They're like mixed out. They don't really observe Judaism. We don't even care about. They use them, and they obviously will. You know, fight for the same goals in many regards, but even internally in Israel, there's like a strict hierarchy. You know what I mean?
There is. I've talked about that before, but between your Mizrahi, Sephardic, Ashkenazi, and so on, it's the trans Semites that run the political wing. Like if you look at Likud, there's not a single prime minister in Israel that was born in Israel. They're all from Poland or Romania or whatever.
But they're not Polish. Are not,
but no, right.
For the same reason, a mouse born exactly. in a stable right. is not a horse. And I made that point to someone. I forget what was the reply. Here, right. you can map
Jamaica,
them.
They're not Native American. They're most likely African.
Right, exactly. Like, the origin, you know.
Right.
But yeah, so they're not European, but they have, sure, there's admixture, yes, of course, but they're still very distinct. They're still a separate ethnic group. And of course they play on that. And then of course you have the religious programming, the Holocaust, all of these things on top of that, right? That it's just something with the way they view.
You said religion twice.
Was that? Yeah. Well,
he said the Holocaust. It really has become yeah. Holocaust vanity. Like, you're not yeah. allowed to present the nuanced or truthful view of that event at all. It's like, no, it's got to be the Steven Spielberg version, or you say no one died and you're a denier. So stupid. But goddamn, man, you look at how all the lies about October 7th, they're still saying people were mass raped and babies in ovens and all that.
Of course. No, they lie and they keep lying. They lie to your face. You catch them in the lie. They keep
There's
lying.
No
they keep
reason
lying.
To either. Like, okay, look, people got murdered. That's bad enough. You don't need to all this stuff. And the same thing with the Holocaust. You don't need to start talking about Germans turning people into furniture and bars of soap and stuffing mattresses with hair and all this crazy stuff. Like, that did not happen.
They're storytellers. They're liars. They make everything up and they exaggerate to get something out of it, right? Getting something. There was this funny clip that was at I'm not sure if you saw it, someone sent it to me. It was Tucker.
Well, it just seemed like murder, it should be enough, but they always got to have this cartoonish level of evil.
Yeah, exactly.
They blame all the attacks that ISIS and Wahhabis and stuff have done. They're like, that's the Muslims, and they blame it on Iran when Iran did none of those things.
Because they see everyone else as the other, and it doesn't matter. That's why they call them Amalek yeah. when they have to, or Esav or Edom or whatever, you know. And I mean, the opening conference of the ADL, the Never Is Now, whatever they call it, whatever the hell it's called, or Hope for Hate for
Good. I'm reading the text.
stop the hate
because you are. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment here. But they opened the ADL conference with them booing Haman, and it's like Haman never existed. There's no record. There's no written thing outside of the Bible of this guy. He was like an underling to Xerxes, apparently. And there's plenty about Xerxes. You can cross correlate from, you know, different cultures and different, you know, Egyptian steles and, you know, their own literature and stuff. But they just make these characters up, and then they become real in their mind. You know,
there's no King Solomon.
No,
these aren't real.
I don't think so. I think it's all just Jewish fairy tales. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
there's definitely no Jacob and Esau.
Mm-hmm.
No Adam and Eve. Like, these lineages, like, well, you can't be a lineage to Jacob when Jacob wasn't real. And yeah, these kingdoms and stuff. They're about as real. I always say, like, it's about as real as King Arthur. It's a cool story.
King Arthur is real, more real than that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they may have been a fighter named Arthur or something, but like, they're not even. There was no Wizard Merlin or Mad Mim and Lancelot and all that. It's not real anything. And there was no King David. And there sure as hell wasn't a King Solomon. But they act like, even like secular people have historized the mythology where they're like, okay, well, Samson didn't really kill 1,000 people with a jawbone and he didn't have magic hair and da, da, da. But they feel like, but it's based on a real event. Like, no, it's not yeah. based on a real event. There was no battle. They did not sack Jericho by making the walls fall down by blowing trumpets. Like, it's just a completely made up story, and it has no semblance with reality. There was no Exodus. There's a very slow Exodus
out of Egypt.
The Hyksos
yeah.
from the Thebans. Yeah, like over yeah. hundreds of years. But no, they didn't walk through the Red Sea. Duh. But they're like, well, they didn't walk through the Red Sea, but they were forced out. I'm like, no, no, all of it's a lie. And that's what they do. They add these greater lies, and then they think, well, some percent of that is true. No one lived inside a whale's belly. Egypt was not covered in frogs. Moses and the pharaohs didn't compete doing magic tricks with each other. Like, they weren't covered in locusts. None of it is real. And you've historized a religion, and it's like, dude, this is mythology. All the characters and all the stories, it's completely made up. Until you get to about Jeremiah, maybe, like, they start getting historical-ish, but then all the miracles and stuff are made up as parables. And I think it was supposed to be known that these are parables. Same way you tell the story of the three little pigs. Like, the point of the story is hard work pays off. You're lazy, you know, your house will fall down. You're not supposed to think there's talking pigs or a wolf that can blow hurricanes out of its mouth or whatever. Like, that's just the story part. And that's how a lot of the parables are, because they're so stupid, some of them. They're like, well, no one literally believes this. But then you look at Christian dispensationalists, they go, oh, no, they do literally think that the demons were cast into pigs and all this stuff. I'm right. Like, okay,
yep.
I don't know what to say to an adult that does that, you know?
Well, that's the thing. And I think even, you know, due to their enslavement and, you know, again, if it's talking about the Hyksos, it seems to be more of a takeover than an enslavement, by the way, but that's a different story. But they have lent enough from other people's mythologies as well, right? If you look at Babylon, they took things from the whole Egyptian thing with the line of kings and stuff like that's very interesting, right? The Thutmosis and like the similarities in some of the names, the Akhenaten thing that he might have been. I mean, it's all the theories, but I'm saying there is some historical accuracy in what happened in that part of the ancient world and some of those empires or whatnot, but they like took a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, mishmashed it together, kind of made it their own, and then added the supernatural layer to it.
Connected, that are many, many decades or sometimes centuries apart. And they copied stories like Gilgamesh. They stole the stories of El and his pantheon completely. That's how you get Asherah and all those stories.
Yahweh.
The whole book of Hosea is ripped off from that. So it's like clearly like you're taking your myths come from these other myths. Hades is in the book of Revelation.
Right.
Like, it's a Greek god.
So much is from Greek mythology, by the way, too. And that's what they were competing with. I mean, when they started formulating much of the new way, at least, and things like this, they were in that environment. They were dominated by Greek, religion, essentially. And they wanted a competitor to that. They wanted something that could like compete on equal terms. But the point is, when I get back to the mindset, right, of like, they mythologize and
I'm glad you pointed that out, though. I mean, it is. It's Greek polytheism, Zoroastrianism, and then some of the older religions of the area from the Sumerians and Akkadians. And
Egyptian.
Sumeria stretched to Babylon. So when they're like Babylonians, I'm like, that's still Sumeria.
Yeah. Amorites, you have the Hittites. They have, you know, it's bleed overs, right? The Babylonians,
And the Hittites were influenced by the Greeks, too.
Yes.
So you get it secondarily, Greek stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, that period is interesting. All those different civilizations are interesting. I think there's something there. They have their own mythological story. Something seems to have happened. It seems to have been catastrophes and upheavals, obviously, and things like this. But my point is, now it's like this. They've made it real, and now they're like they believe that these supernatural things are going to happen, and the God is going like on their side, and he's going to show the rest of the world. Right? There's that one clip.
Better, they can force him to happen. If we do X, Y, Z, it'll bring about the prophecy.
Exactly. Which means you're working towards making it real, but then that is the validity that they seek in order to say, see, it is real. It's like, well, you're pushing for it to be real. You're so funding it.
That backs up what you're saying earlier, like maybe chaos is the plan.
I know. That's because what I'm
from this leaning towards now. Point of view of end-timers.
End-times, end of the world. That's what's so interesting about this whole mythology. And I mean, that could be broadly applied to Abrahamism overall, obviously. But like, there is no way out of this but doom. It's a blueprint for destruction weaved into the theology itself. I mean, many pre-Christian traditions don't really have that. There's a totally different way of viewing it, and I'm saying that is a dangerous thing.
They're all
going
to be very sad when they find out it was Ragnarok all along.
Yeah, even that can be debated in terms of the interpretation actually of that, you know, because you do have Christian scribes that wrote down the stories, and I'm sure there was some like, oh, let's kind of turn this into the end of their version of the end of the world. And I'm not saying that there was a battle, obviously, between the gods and stuff like that, but just like this, like, that's the end of time, and that's it. There's like eschatological, you know, like that's the only way
awesome
they have it through.
If Loki actually created the Yahweh stories and stuff.
Oh, you mean like, oh, yeah.
And he's the only god left at the end.
I mean, they've taken from all religions. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some obviously
right, because he stole the atoms from Adam. I mean, the apples of Adam that would give them everlasting life.
That's it.
Kind of like the Garden of Eden story, although Eden was a fig. It's sort of most people, if you ask, they think it's an apple tree from art or whatever they got that from.
Yeah.
But that actually comes from Norse mythology. So it's
Idun. That's the story of Idun.
Idun.
And even etymologically, it's somewhat similar.
I just read it wrong. But I've never heard like Scandinavian people say it. I just read and I make the word up in my head. But Idun, he took the apples that would grant them, that gave all the gods life, their immortality, you know, like as a joke. you're all going to die.
Yeah.
But what if he never returned them? What if they all died with him?
Mm-hmm.
And this is his grand plan. No.
I don't know. Just, I'm saying that this is a horrifying thing when you realize that the religion is weaved into it is like doomsday, right? Armageddon, Armedigo, up on the hill of Medigo, the battle of the, you know, the end of the world's going to happen right there, you know, kind of thing. And they're working towards manifesting that. And it's like this scorched earth tactics. And I also think, obviously, politically, just weaved into that, you have this, well, if we can't have it, no one will, right? Samson option type of mentality. That they're willing
That's why they're attacking the West Bank and stuff. They're losing in Lebanon. So they just go and pick on the Palestinians.
Yeah. Well, why not? They would always wanted to kill them. This is a good opportunity to do it anyway.
They're torturing infants. And this is what's sicker about that. They've always done that. They're admitting they do it now, and they're filming it.
Yep. And they're
that's the new level.
Putting it up on the internet. Exactly. Because who's going to stop them?
Yair Ben in an Israeli telegram. Oh, by the way, this is kind of big. I should have said this right away. I lurk in all these Israeli telegrams. They were talking about a false flag in Texas a few days ago. And I don't know if that refinery was part of that, but it was such a coincidence.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Maybe it wasn't nothing, but it's the kind of thing they were planning it anyway.
Well, what do you make about the Hatzalah or the Shumrim ambulances in London, golden, green,
gold? Well, the first question everyone ought to have is, why does this group get their own ambulances?
Well, I agree. And then the U.S. anti-Semitism czar came out and pressured, or he said, he revealed that the U.S. had pressured the U.K. government, and they gave them new ambulances right away, apparently.
They probably gave them someone else's ambulance.
You know it, exactly. And it's not exactly.
Did you see the attack in the synagogue? I think it was in Michigan, one of the M states. There were like 100 cop cars.
It was insane. Yeah, I know.
Wow. So, you know, someone robs your house, they just come by 3 days later and say, what was they wearing? But, you know, a Jew gets attacked. The whole entire police force is out there like, you shouldn't attack synagogues, churches, mosques, whatever. But like the disproportionate level of attention has just really showed you everything.
Let me see.
And apparently the guy that did it was motivated because they killed his family in Lebanon.
I heard that. Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm like, well, I understand. But like they didn't, like the people you attacked, like Israelis did that. But I get his frustration.
Oh, definitely. Of course. Yeah. I'm trying to find that. But yeah, it was you call the cops, nothing happens. Cars,
yeah. Like that's another one. I'm like, is this AI? And it wasn't.
No, it was real. You know?
Because I was like, really? They really brought it. It's like every cop car, like, we're here to protect you. Don't worry. Serve and protect. Yeah, course, serve and protect.
Well, you know
how many murders there are every day?
Yeah.
You might get a cop car, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
Not this.
It was. Well, I mean, again, many of these police departments, you know, Ryan,
they're. When that Ukrainian woman was
Zarutska?
Stabbed in the neck on a bus.
Yeah. Irina Zarutska, right? Yeah. It was. Let me see if I can find that here. There was some funny memes about that too. They did the Leon, the movie. I remember Leon. Bring me everyone. You know that clip. It's like every goddamn cop you have in the whole county will show up just to like this. Oh my God, a synagogue was burnt. You know.
I'm still mad about Irina too. Like that shouldn't happen. And this one, it was on film, but they're often just stabbings on trains and buses or someone pushed in front of the subway or whatever. Just random violence.
Yeah.
The Western society is broken.
Yes, it is. That's what we're complaining about, right? Here's one example. I saw some memes at the same time. And I think that is the cop car shot down in the bottom left there, by the way, from that in West Bloomfield.
Yeah, it looks like traffic, right?
Yeah, you think it's traffic just, first, and he says, nope, it's like every single police car everywhere within like 200-mile radius that showed up. Anyway, yeah, no, I mean, secondhand class. It's just, so going back to London there, we talked about that, right? They have the They got pressure right away. They gave them back the ambulances. And immediately it was like, this Iran-linked group took responsibility for it. So I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, really?
Look, really? They left a passport and a copy of Mein Kampf.
Pretty much. What can you say? But, yeah, the point is, I think still, though, people are sick and fed up with it. They can
There's a little
see
note
that.
That says, death to America, death to Israel and everything.
Is it working?
That's half sarcasm. Is this still working? The anthrax attacks. They did that.
Oh, boy. Let me go back to the clip here. How do Israelis view Americans? Childish and naive. Why? Because you are. Listen to this here. Do we not have audio on that? Hang on. Let's see, where do you go? Let me just restart 1. That.
1.6 million views, though.
Yeah. From RT. Let me try here again. Can we get audio? Is that on my end? Sorry. Hang on. That should play.
Day of most Israelis now toward the United States.
We love it. We admire it. We want to move there. And we think you are so childish and naive.
Why?
Because this is what you are.
Okay. I'm not sure I would disagree with you at all.
It's funny because I coincidentally linked up this one. It's a sin to be a sucker in Israel. This is from like 1997. A friar, right? You've heard of this. A friar is someone who cedes ground, plays completely by the rules, or allows someone to get the better of him. The ideal Israeli is clever and tough. And the friar is the opposite, a pushover in the way that Israelis often perceive Americans to be. It says right there. There you go. So, I mean, this is how they... If this is how they are internally in Israel towards each other, imagine then how they are towards the Goy. Oy vey.
I'm all for Israel should not exist. I'm for the zero state solution.
Where do we put them? Madagascar?
Blows up their water and everything else. What's that?
Where do we put them? Can't live with them. Wherever you put
the
them?
The sun.
The sun? Oh, all right, that's good enough.
People will say they want a glass parking lot or they want a desert or make it look like the Grand Canyon, but I disagree with all that. I just want to make the Mediterranean larger. I'd like to see water property at the edge of Jordan. These people, no one wants them. I feel really bad for Cyprus because that's where a lot of them going there.
I'm for a two-state solution.
To Thailand too.
How about that one?
You just move it a little bit to the right.
Can we get it out? Yeah, can we get it out of the way a little more? I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, don't pollute the moon.
Well, and then what we can do is we can have an anti-Semitic comet hit the moon. How about that?
Just put them on the comet.
Put them on the comet, like Hale. No, what was it called again? Marshall Applewhite. What was this called? Heaven's Gate. You'll launch that. Yeah. Just do it. The Nike commercial.
Get some of that Jim Jones Tang.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Kool-Aid.
Raid, whatever it wasn't Kool-Aid.
Oh, it wasn't Kool-Aid? Okay. Like, was that a misunderstanding? oh, gosh. All right. So, anyway,
your
we're over here.
Drink, it is like knockoff Kool-Aid.
Ugh. I mean, Kool-Aid is bad enough. I can't even imagine what the knockoff is.
Cyanide?
Like. Cyanide. Cyanides. Okay. So, we have. What do you think is. Okay. So, we're talking about. See, I think they're crazy enough and. Oh, that's what I forgot to mention earlier. Speaking of them being crazy and chaos and all that stuff. So what do you think about this? Of like the importance here as well is to kind of take everything that Trump also then represents, Trumpism, right? Because he's associated with, if you read the mainstream, Trump is a white nationalist. He's a white supremacist. Is the ICE, the deportations, the illegal. I mean, it's not true, but I'm saying that's like he's the white man. And so you can sensibly, the Cheeto dust man, you can take the whole thing and blame this on Whitey now. It's like that's, we're never doing that again. Do you see what I'm saying? Like America first, it will be an easy match for 2028 or maybe 32, whatever. You'll have a wave against this. It will probably at this rate, it'll be not only the midterms, but obviously in 2028. Mm-hmm. And reject all that in terms of like the national, it will be an open season for those who totally want like internationalism, globalism, and all these kinds of things. Do you see what I'm saying? That like they can just lump all of this together with Trump, and everyone wholeheartedly just kind of rejects nationalism as a consequence of
this. See what happens when you let a populist in there?
See?
He never was.
Yep.
Yeah.
These white men running things, you know, we can't have that. I think that's a desirable outcome for them too, weaved into this. Because Israel, as you said, Israel will be maybe not fine, but they will be insane enough to, you know, threaten everyone with nukes and at least kind of ensure the territory
nuke
they
Iran,
have.
Russia will nuke Ukraine. Like, if you're going to start using nukes on non-nuclear nations, then more than one can play at that game. I see their plan, but I think hubris gets them again. I think we're looking at 110. I really think Iran is going to, like, from this point on, they start getting victories in this war, especially over the Gulf states. They're the biggest losers. And then they can concentrate on Israel. And there's nothing the U.S. can do about it. They can't reopen the strait, and they can't defend Israel. And so this is Iran's, like, they better not take a deal. They better not capitulate. If they're smart and they want to exist in the future, you need to win this now while you have this advantage with the ballistic missiles and everything I described in the beginning.
Yeah.
You have a chance right now to end it. So never let up. I want to be talking to you next year about more bombs hitting Tel Aviv, where all year this goes on. That would be the best outcome.
And it just might. I don't know how they're going
to. It just gets to be like Gaza, just like, oh, more dead Israelis today. You're numb to it. That's what I want. I want them to die all year long. I want everything destroyed to make it look like rubble. That's what they deserve.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. You know, there's more. There's, of course, a lot of people still making aliyah and stuff like that, too. But there's also a lot. There's record amounts of Israelis leaving, you know. And a lot of them are going to Europe, of course, in America.
Scared to death.
Germany, France, yeah, they're you know, bailing out essentially. I don't like that either, though. It's like, oh gosh, you know, really, can't you stay?
I did a poll, and I know it's just on X. We're like, would you like Israeli settlers to flee to your country?
Yeah.
Overwhelming,
no,
nobody wants them. Because after a couple of days, you'd be like, you know what? That's my house. It's been my house the whole time. Oh.
Well, if I don't take it, if I don't steal it, someone else will. Right? That will be. I'm saying,
Fauci.
They already done that in our countries.
Somebody else is going to do it.
Yeah. If I don't whore out your daughter's nudes on the internet, someone else will, and they will take 20% from it. Quoting Leonid Rodvinsky.
I got to bounce soon.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your time. Here's the piece there. Why Israelis are leaving in record numbers. This is from January 7th, 2026.
Scary because everyone's like, I hope they don't come here.
Oh, you know, Germany, France, England, the U.S., of course. They're going to all the Western because they're not going to, you know, Nigeria or Mozambique or
Thailand's starting to refuse to allow them in hotels.
See, they're smart.
Kyoto did the same thing. There's a meme that says Japan did it. That's not true, but just that one prefecture, they won't let them in.
I think
Nara as well. Nara and Kyoto, they're side by side. They're like, no Israeli tourists. Because they just tear up the room. They act like they own the place. They're like, you can't stay here.
Again, even like, I mean, you know the stories about like Sarah Netanyahu bringing her dirty laundry to the White House. Like suitcases full
Wash
of it.
Wash my underwear, boy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is if that's how they are on a state level, imagine like the tourist Jews coming to your country. Just take
set
everything.
Set up rape tourism in Brazil and Colombia. They routinely get caught doing this crap.
Yeah.
Where they just like international crime syndicate, like, hey, come to Colombia, Brazil, rape an 8-year-old. And they have pamphlets in Israel to like lure, yeah, it'd be a great vacation. Just go rape some goy and go back.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how they are.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
They're disgusting little maggots, dude. Like, they're absolute psychopaths. They feel superior. They hate the world. And that whole gene pool needs to get wiped off the earth.
Yep. All right, ANC report.
I don't even want it in space. It just need baptism by fire. That's what needs to happen.
Well, it just might.
Here's a team, Amalek.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. That's cool.
It's the reverse, the Star of David or Raphine or whatever. It's the hearts, which is the opposite of the hate symbol.
Triangles.
Team Amalek.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I like it. Nice. Team Amalek. New in the store?
It's a long sleeve shirt. It looks like a sweater. It's just a long sleeve.
Okay.
Sure.
Nice. Very nice. All right. Well, tell people where they can obviously where they can find it. We're showing the website right now, but you have a Substack, some other stuff there as well.
So ANC Report is still there. The main thing now is RyanDawson.org, which is my Substack. I got a custom URL. So RyanDawson.org gets you all the Iran updates, Epstein updates, and just bashing on Israel as per usual.
Good.
And there's a free film right there in the middle. You see Empire and Mass. It's free on September 11th. So.
All right. Yeah. Nice.
I think you'll like that Forces of Darkness. It's a quick read. It's a good article, and it just rips on them.
Okay. Good. Excellent. Well, Ryan, thank you. I appreciate your time. Awful super chats today, ladies and gentlemen. We got one from Albert here. I'm going to read in a second, but we're going to get Ryan going here first so he can tend to his other business. But, Ryan, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate you too, man. Yeah. Good luck with Entropy and all that. Like, it is what it is.
It is what it is. We move on. We trudge through and upwards and onwards, as I say. No, never black pill. No
morale.
There you go. Team Hamalek. There you go. Love. All right. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later. Okay. Thanks. Take care. All right. Thanks.
Peace.
All right. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. That's Ryan Dawson. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's not right. Let's pull up my lower third. How about that? All right. So, Albert DonorBox, he's trying the new service that we're trying out here because maybe some of you did send an interview and you didn't hear that part. I guess I'll check, but yeah, just in case you are tuning in live and didn't hear the beginning of the show. Where are we? There we go. Okay. So yeah, Entropy has not been paying out since January. So do not use Entropy from now on and out. And they made a big mistake, I think, by just at least not... If they would have told us, like, right away, I've been like, all right, fine, no problem. I get that these things happen. But we had to write them for like a week and a half and nothing since, you know, no payouts in January. It's like, what's going on, right? If they would have just emailed or contacted the people that used their site and some mass email or something, or written back right away, I said, sorry, we were working on a new solution or something. Fine, no problem. But because they handle it this way, it's just too unreliable. So from now on out, unless something changes, I don't want to use them. So we're trying out a new option, donorbox.org/redicetips. Now, we use DonorBox, of course, for signups at redicemembers.com as one of the payment methods as well. But we have a specific one for tips, and I keep an eye on that here. And Albert, of course, true to form, King Albert, thank you, man. You're so kind. You're so generous. We'll love you. Thank you, Albert. You're keeping Red Eyes alive. No doubt about it. He says, hi, Henrik, just want to make sure you get this. I did. Thank you so much. I'll probably watch them on the stream, then go to bed. Take care. That's right. It's late over there. It's 9:46 local Pacific time here, so it's getting close to 1 a.m. where you are. Thank you so much, Albert. Big dono from Albert, as usual. We appreciate it. I saw one here on Rumble. You can use Rumble, too, of course. That works. I think it's – I forget if you used their just whine a little bit here at the end of the stream. I think if you use the app that they have, the Rumble app through, like, the iPhone, Apple Store – or you use, I'm not sure, Google and Android if they take, but I know that Rumble takes, their cut, but Apple takes like 30% as well. So that's like almost 50% just gone right away. So if you do want what you do send to go most of it directed to us, donorbox.org/redicetips will be the best way moving forward. So we'll try that. Tomahawk, I saw here on Rumble. Great show. Have some shekels. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. That's very kind of you. If you do like the show, if you like what we do, if you want to support what we do, we appreciate everything, no matter how small or big, obviously, but we appreciate all of it. If you do want to support the show, you can super chat, but you can also sign up for a membership. Obviously, that's another great way to support us. I guess I can pull that up here so you guys can see the sites that you can go to, redicemembers.com, or you can go to redicetv.locals.com or subscribestar.com/redice. And we just got, of course, the latest Western Warrior up a little bit earlier today as well. Put a lot of time and sometimes into editing these and making them look real good. You know, want to do it the right way for you guys. You get something in return as well. It's only $10 a month if you sign up on redicemembers.com or on Subscribestar or on Locals. But you can get that price down as well significantly if you sign up for a longer subscription over at redicemembers.com. But it helps us tremendously. It's only $10 a month. But if you get a 2-year sub, that's like 35, almost 40% off. But check out the latest Western Warrior episode there. Iran war humiliates Trump and Netanyahu while the West is starved into climate compliance and energy scarcity, which goes more in depth into the issue that I brought up a little bit, you know, just with Ryan about in terms of the signals ahead of the start of the Iran war, over the fact that they were like already beginning the process of like energy shortages, scarcity, deindustrialization, net zero, you know, that type of bullshit. That's still there. It feels like it's like, you know, maybe gone in hiding, mainly due to the kind of a new geopolitical, I guess, landscape with Trump to a certain extent. But it's still there, still in the back end. I mean, it's still, you know, the Black Rocks of this world that are, you know, mulling on those types of things in the back end. And why? Because, well, conservation for AI, by the way. And then you also have the issue with restriction, right? Just full-on control, ultimately. You know, the EV revolution, green transition, everything's digital, monitored, AI. The other thing with the energy stuff we didn't get into is it might, if there are increasing energy prices and huge spikes that are prolonged, that can be an interesting development in terms of AI, right? Because it's so energy, consuming so much energy, right? Are we going to be restricted and all of it goes to the AI still? Or is it going to be that AI will not be able to keep up with its, you know, the expansion of these data centers and the energy consumption? I don't know. Maybe that's kind of a silver lining in some of that, you know what I mean? That's just what it is. You got to rip the Band-Aid off, even if it's hard times for a little bit. That sometimes that's what it is, right? You got to take away the bread and circuses to get people to get off their asses and, you know, get some, I don't like the term revolution, but like a rebellion on your hands. That's just kind of what it is. But they're playing with fire, no doubt. All right. Anyways, it's getting late over here. Thank you, guys. We appreciate your support. Let me check. Hopefully you didn't do entropy, one of you. But if you did, no worries. We'll drop this over the last couple of the next, obviously, few shows here in detail. So tomorrow, actually, we'll be back with a Thursday stream. Lana will be sitting in for with me for a Red S live show. So make sure you tune in for that. It's going to be good tomorrow. I think we're going live around 5 p.m. Eastern, as usual. So tune in for that. And then Friday, I'm going to have a couple of guest hosts with me for Flashback Friday. So that's all the next few things kind of lined up, coming up here. Let me see if I can find... let me see here. Oh, I have to start streaming. Let me see here. Sorry, guys. I'm doing this on the fly here. I'm just checking entropy real quick. No, okay, nothing on entropy. That's good, because I don't want it to be anything on entropy. We're shifting over. Okay, well, thank you to Tomahawk and to Albert for your generous donation, Albert, as always. And thank you to Tomahawk for your donation as well. We appreciate you. No matter how little it is, it does help. And please keep that in mind, because we are right now locked out of all those funds that we had coming in for the last month and a half, almost two months of entropy. So we're being squeezed, you know. It's only so long you can float along without getting the money that you are counting on coming in, right? So if you want to support us and want to do something for us to help us out, to get over that hump until either entropy can sort it out, because I don't know, what will that take? 5 months? Two months? Hopefully just 2 weeks, but you never know, right? Could take 3 months for them to pay out the money. So I don't know. So if you want to help us out, if you haven't signed up for a membership before, for example, now's a great time to do it. A great time to get aboard, a great time to get in on redhousemembers.com and get a membership. Or you can get something in the Lana's Llama store. That helps as well, of course. Get a hoodie, get a Folk First shirt, Flashback Friday shirt. If you get some of the last year's inventory of shirts, you can use Flashback Friday 50 as a coupon code on lanaslama.com, and you get that 50% off on those everything basically you see on the screen when it comes to the t-shirts there, not the hat and some of the mugs, but on all the t-shirts, that's 50% off with Flashback Friday 50. And while you're in there, pick up a hoodie or a Folk First shirt or a Flashback Friday shirt. It helps us tremendously. So thank you, guys. So I think that's enough shilling, but that's what you have to do when you're being squeezed and not informed about what's going on. I'm kind of pissed about it, actually. I am pissed about entropy. People are relying on that, so it's not only us. Other people are relying on it, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just a shitty attitude. Just let people know right away instead, and then you're willing to work with, oh, okay, no problem, you know, shit happens, we understand, we've been banned and censored and stuff like that too. But the fact that they didn't say anything pisses me off, to be honest. So anyway, so tomorrow, if you want to join us tomorrow, and maybe you want to send a super chat then to help us out, get over the hump. We appreciate you guys. Use donorbox.org/redicetips. There's a little embedded, widget basically on there that you can use, and just check the little write us a comment, feature essentially there, and we'll read it just like we would on Entropy. I know it's kind of not the same; it's a different way. So I know some people they don't like new things, but that's just what it is in the age of dissidents. All right. Anyway, I'll stop blabbing about it. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. We got like almost 500 watching over on Rumble. We got a ton of you guys watching over on X as well. So thank you guys. But if you can, please support us because we need it. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you. If you value what we do, show some love, show some support. Okay, guys. So we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in then. We're shooting for 5 p.m. Eastern, but we'll keep you guys updated on our Telegram, Red Ice Giant. You can follow that new channel on Telegram, or Red Ice Uncensored, the old one on Telegram, or, of course, Twitter at Red Ice TV. If you want to follow us there for notifications and updates in terms of when we go live. All right, guys. So it's getting late here. I'm going to wrap up. Great being with you. Hope you enjoyed the show with Ryan. Thank you again to Ryan Dawson for joining us. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your evening or morning if you're over in Europe or elsewhere. We'll talk to you guys a little bit later. Folk first. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Now, do make sure that you follow us on our Rumble channel for more Red Ice TV on rumble.com or on X at Red Ice TV. You can, of course, go to redice.tv as well. Tune in to our live streams and shows, Flashback Friday, live on Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, No Go Zone Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. We also do interviews, videos, clips, and Western Warrior is available Tuesdays, exclusive for our supporters and subscribers at redicemembers.com or on our locals, redicetv.locals.com or subscribestar.com/redice. Get a membership, check out everything that we do, and support the show.
Red Ice merch available now. Hope First t-shirts for adults and for toddlers. Fatigues for men. Our favorite, the Red Ice camper mug or ceramic with black print. High quality leather keychain with solar boat imprint. Our Red Ice hat, one of our best sellers. Pick one up today, or why not? Gray Auslander Rouse t-shirts for both women and men. We also have Fridge Magnets, Folk First, One Disease, and our black men's t-shirt with the classic red solar boat. Folk First. Get your Red Ice merch from LanasLlama.com. Get an item today. Lana's Llama, proud sponsor of Red Ice.